Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, here with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. I will warn you, if you come into Substation 2, you do not want to eat over here in this corner. There's a couple of unruly characters who are doing everything they can to disrupt this broadcast as we try to talk about a serious topic with a man who knows more about roads than one human being ever should know. His name is David Hooper. He is the administrator of the RFATS, Rock Hill, Fort Mill Area Transit System. How are you, David?
Man, I'm doing well. Great to be back with you again.
Always a pleasure to have you here. It's just, it never ceases to amaze me. Number one, how the population is continuing to grow.
Yes.
And how we are even able to keep our head above water when it comes to roads, because as we've said time and time again, you identify a road project, and once it's approved and funded, by the time you design it and build it and da-da-da, you're talking 8 or 9 years, and by that time, in an area like this, the population's going crazy.
Yes, it is. This is an environment, as you've heard me say before, that we ask our elected officials to literally make budgetary and planning decisions for an area that's literally changing before our eyes.
Well, let's talk. One of the things we talked about before the air went on the air are these new census data that has come out. This is a good news, bad news type of thing. Fort Mill is now, I think, the one of the top five fastest growing townships, cities, whatever, in the country.
It is. It is. I mean, I remember it was 2 or 3 years ago. There was 1 year where the town of Fort Mill was the single fastest growing of 15,000 in population in the entire country. So the fact that they're still in the top five is not surprising at all. It's a highly desirable location.
32,000, 33,000, something like that.
We're approaching that. I think in Fort Mill proper, after the 2020 census, I think we're probably right around 25,000 and counting.
Oh, but you haven't seen the latest numbers. The latest numbers came out here about 2 days ago.
Okay.
And they're now popping at 32,000.
I must admit, I haven't looked at that data yet. It's on my schedule for next week, but they are really taking off.
So what does this do to how you all operate and how you get your dollars?
Absolutely. The decennial census is critical to what agencies like RFATS do. Every 10 years, they update changes in population and employment and a variety of other things. And how this affects our funding is that all the money that's, once it's approved in Washington and it goes out to the state DOTs, they'll look at those areas of how their population has changed, vehicle miles traveled, and a variety of other operational variables, and they'll announce the amount of funding that will be made available on an annual basis. So when we see these types of increases, as SCDOT goes through all the numbers over the next year to 18 months, they'll go ahead and update our figures, and hopefully that will result in more funding being available for project planning.
So prior to Fort Mill or that upstate area getting as big as it's gotten, you basically had to appeal to the federal boys saying, look, how about allow us to claw back some of this money you're giving to Charlotte? Now we got it ourselves.
Well, there are changes there. There's a couple of different pots of money. I think first we were talking about what we call the guide share money. That's the core pot of money that the state departments of transportation send out to the MPOs to undertake project planning. One of the other key elements, I think what you're focused on, is the transit funding.
Ah.
And that's related to how what's called an urbanized area is configured. And for those who have followed RFATS for some time, you know that there were multiple urbanized areas in the planning area. There was the Rock Hill urbanized area and a portion of the Charlotte large urbanized area in South Carolina. After the 2020 census, they strengthened and reflected growth in a Rock Hill urbanized area that isn't just in Rock Hill, but covers all of urbanized York County, the city of TK, the town of Fort Mill, all the way out to Lancaster County in the Panhandle. and all of the Charlotte population basically receded back into North Carolina. So it really strengthened the size of the Rock Hill urbanized area, and what you're getting at about where the money goes, that means all the transit money from the Federal Transit Administration comes directly to us.
Good.
That is very good. That streamlines the process and makes it a lot easier and makes it more nimble for us to be as responsive as we can be.
So speaking of money, and we all know what's going on with supply chain, labor shortages, price of asphalt, oil, At your meeting, I think it was last week, you had the unpleasant responsibility of reporting the work you are doing on Highway 160.
Yes,
has
sir.
Absolutely, I mean, it's almost doubled. How was that news received?
Well, it was received with, a desire to get some answers.
Yeah.
You know, the sense of help us understand what is causing cost to go up and to go up so rapidly. You know, you're talking about the big interchange project there at 160 and I-77, just adjacent to the Kingsley development. And we had started that at about 70-72. And about 18 months ago, there was a $27 million increase, which even for our fats and big projects, that's substantial. And we digested that. But when they came back at our most recent meeting and said they need another $23.5 million, I think people had some raised eyebrows, not so much because they're critical at the project management team. I mean, they have to deliver a difficult message, but in effect saying, help us understand. Let's get under the hood and break it down. You know, what was the change in asphalt? What was the change in the working schedule? Help us understand by breaking down the budget why this type of an increase comes in. Because when you take that $23 million figure and that $27 million figure, you're talking about $50 million off of a base of 70 to 72. That's basically an 80% increase when there's been no appreciable design changes. So the question is then, help us understand what caused this.
Well, has anybody gotten a reasonable answer?
We heard answers about materials costs and other things, but I don't think that it answered all questions. I think we still have questions about the degree of the shift. $50 million is a lot of money anywhere. And so we had asked some directed questions to Barry Maddox, the project manager. And again, Barry's not the bad guy. He just had to communicate a difficult message because we're getting ready to put this thing on the street. And we're very happy about that. Finally, Barry's going to take this out probably in August or September. And we're finally going to move into getting the work done and people seeing dirt move. But in terms of getting all the answers we wanted, the detailed answers we wanted, I don't know that Barry had all that information. I don't know that it's available to him. I think he outlined what he could, what he's aware of. You know, we're hopeful that they will end up finishing where the contingency amount that's built into the project cost budget will be able to come back to RFATS. That could be $8 to $10 million. Normally, project costs go up, not down. So I won't say that we're overly optimistic, but I think one of the other things that we highlighted at that meeting, separate from the explanation that Barry was able to offer to us, was, you know, our request to SCDOT and to those in Columbia to say, would you be willing to be a partner with us? Would you be willing to help us manage these cost increases? Because, you know, we're making improvements on the interstate here at 160. We made improvements, as you know, up at Gold Hill Road. We're planning at Carowinds Boulevard. We're analyzing the interchange at Celanese, and we feel like, you know, those are principally state responsibilities. But because we're growing so rapidly, and we're a part of creating that growth environment through approving new development, but we feel like we're doing our part. We're making improvements on the state system. And not only because they're priorities to us, but when I look back and think about the SCDOT statewide management plan, and they ask a basic question throughout the state about operating conditions, and they ask the question, over the next 10 years, what sections of the interstate are going to be the most congested in South Carolina? Four of the top five are in RFATS. Four of the top five we've put RFATS money behind, as well as York County has put money behind, and this is Carowinds, Gold Hill, 160, and Celanese. And so when we get that second increase, we would ask for reasonable partnership from DOT, if they're willing to give us a little bit more time on a potential advance to manage all these projects and not have any backsliding, we would welcome that. If they're willing to put some of their own money into this process, money's tight for all of us, but if they're willing to bring some money to the table and help us manage that kind of a cost increase, we would certainly welcome that as well.
Okay. Now, I would be saying, okay, you're going to put this thing out for bid in August and September, and they're already telling you it's going to be $50 million more. Probably by August or September, it may be $55 million more. Who knows? But let's assume that you get those kinds of bids back. Let's assume that you're going to get multiple bids, which I think is a challenge, real question mark, in terms of the labor supply. So you get this thing back, and it's 80% higher than you thought. Where the heck is the money going to come from? And this is just one interchange of four that have been funded by the State Infrastructure Bank.
Right.
And you're going to have this same problem on the other three.
That's always a possibility. I think one of the things we would look to is that the DOT does have some safeguards in there. We have what's called an internal construction engineer's estimate. And if the bid is too far off the mark from what is reasonable, what will give us good value for the public resources, the project will not be awarded.
Uh-huh.
Someone cannot just come in and put forward any price and just assume we're going to accept it. It has to be reasonable.
So that would be something that the construction companies or those who are bidding the project would understand.
They do understand it. Most of the bigger firms will follow the Green Book, and they'll look in other places to look at types of projects, where they're bid across the country, across the state. They've got a general sense of what is a reasonable price for a particular type of work.
So it would be unfair to characterize them as going for anything that they think they can get, because they know that there are people like yourself who know what the game is, and there are structures and measures in place to keep that from happening.
There are. We have to make sure that we're good stewards of the public money. We're making public investments. We have to look at what's a reasonable cost, a reasonable profit margin, and that there are multiple bidders. And if they're too far away from where the internal assessment is at, they won't award it.
So a reasonable profit margin for a road contractor, what is it, 10%, 20%?
I'd say you're probably looking closer to 8 to 10.
That's after all the bills are paid.
Yeah. Okay. I think when you're just looking at pure margin, you're somewhere in that area right there.
And I don't think anybody would ever criticize a comment that that's tough work. Doing road work is tough work.
It is tough work. It's hard. But if you're a firm that's in it for the long term,
yep,
and you're going to work with the same state agencies over and over again, there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be maintained and upgraded. You want to establish your credibility, that you do good work, that you do work on time. So we all have a vested interest in getting a good outcome, despite the fact that, as you say, it is hard work.
So the rubber meets the road on this project sometime by the end of the year when you get these bids back.
Yes, sir.
And then you're going to be going to church and doing a lot of special prayers that the state or somebody's going to cough up the extra money.
We are hopeful. I think we have a reason to be hopeful. We're making a strategic investment. You know, if you think of the transportation system, major interchanges are your major convergence points. They serve everyone. And we all have a vested interest, whether it's operational conditions, making sure it also is safe, whether it furthers our ability to realize economic development goals, attracting and retaining jobs. At all levels of government, we have an interest. And so RFS is bringing money to the table. York County has brought money to the table. All the jurisdictional members do. We would ask that, since this is on the state system, whether SCDOT would be willing to bring some money to the table as well and be a partner with us. Because, as I say, we feel like we're doing our part. And, you know, it's not just what we do at RFS. The good work of Patrick Hamilton and others over at York County. I mean, I know they're getting ready for a fifth pennies referendum, but over the last 20 years, they've raised approximately $1 billion in non-federal money, over 85% of which has been put on the state system.
Yeah.
So, we feel like we're paying our way, And there are times where we need partnership with our fellow agencies, and I think we would ask our partner down in Columbia to walk with us on this project.
Well, the state DOT seems to be the guardian angel on this thing. I don't think you're going to get anything more from RFATS. We pretty much drained that account for these projects that are underway on all these interchanges. And the DOT, I mean, realistically, they've got more money in their coffers now than they've ever had because of the additional gas tax. And they're doing a lot more work. It's very, very evident that they're getting stuff done.
At SCDOT, to their credit, they have outlined a 10-year plan, and it's impressive. They're addressing a lot of deferred maintenance from past years. They're targeting those priority bridge crossings across the state, focused on pavement quality and getting a good outcome for the residents of South Carolina. And so they are doing the right thing, and we've made a lot of progress. And we just think when we make these strategic investments along these interchanges here up in York County, I think Malfunction Junction down in Columbia is another one of those where there's certain points that are critical to how the overall state network functions, and these points are like the major arterials, and if they don't function, it isn't just local operating conditions, it's freight movement, it's economic development, it has much broader impacts across the state than just that particular project.
And we're going to talk more about that after we take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, we've got a couple of knuckleheads over here that I know can read, and we're going to get them to help us out with this. It's the white letters. We're going to read it together at the count of three, because that's what happens here at Substation 2 every day, right? Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes. How do we do it at the count of three? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
All right, back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
What's new at Substation 2 is not on the menu board. It's on your phone.
This is Charlie Ruffalo.
Go to the App Store, download our new app, order the best sub anywhere online, and it'll be ready when you arrive. And don't forget the free stuff you get with our new rewards program. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Emergency care close to home. The team at Piedmont Medical Center has the advanced training to handle your medical emergencies, and we're making it easier for you to access care every day. For non-life-threatening problems, online ER check-in is available at all our emergency room locations, meaning less waiting room time, more peace of mind. Simply visit PiedmontMedicalCenter.com, pick a time you want to be seen, and then wait at home while we hold your place. For life-threatening emergencies, call 911. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Put some extra room in your monthly budget. Right now, when you refinance your ride with Founders, you can beat your current auto rate by 1% and make no monthly payments for 90 days. That's a deal that will leave you feeling super confident that you can pay off your vehicle. Get moving. Visit foundersfcu.com/superrates to see how we can help you get moving. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Comporium, you get way more than home security. You get eyes everywhere. Remote access to lights and locks anywhere. And right now, you'll get a secure home for a lot less than you'd think with anytime live video streaming, remote temperature control, and 24/7 monitoring. We're more than your internet company. We're your peace of mind, never felt this easy company. For zero stress levels, stay connected to what matters most. Comporium, always ready.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
What's new at Substation 2 is not on the menu board, it's on your phone. Go to the App Store, download our new app, order the best sub anywhere online, and it'll be ready when you arrive. And don't forget the free stuff you get with our new rewards program. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. David Hooper is with us today. He's the director of RFATS, which is, oh my gosh, a very valuable organization that really brings all the different entities together to take a look at planning for roads and intersections and all this kind of stuff. And what's going on here with growth, that's what we've talked about the first 20 minutes and how it's affecting roads. Go back and take a listen to it. But here we are. We've got an eight-lane interstate, which is rapidly becoming a parking lot because of all the traffic on there. And how are we going to keep moving people north and south? And, of course, U.S. 21, which is a two-lane road right now from North Carolina right on down to the Catawba River Bridge until it hits Cherry Road, is a prime target. It's already funded. Part of it's already funded by the Pennies for Progress, right?
Yes, sir, it is.
To go from two lanes to four lanes.
Right.
Or maybe it's five lanes.
Four operational lanes.
That's still how many years off?
Well, you've got two sections of it that are funded and active. You've got the section there from Gold Hill up to 55, and then you got, with the most recent Pennies referendum, you've got 160 up to Gold Hill. Those are active right now. I believe they're past preliminary engineering, but they've still got a few years ahead of them before that work is done completely. But RFATS recently made a presentation to the Pennies Sales Tax Commission as part of the development of Pennies 5, the fifth referendum,
right,
that of regional importance, the number one priority at RFATS would be completing the five-lane widening of the U.S. 21 corridor. So we've got the remaining stretch from 160 down to the Catawba River Bridge that we would argue would need to go to five lanes as well. This is a critical corridor in the network. It is, you know, the only corridor that runs north-south adjacent to the interstate. You've got the big Kingsley development up on one side. You've got the hospital on the corner up there. You've got the connection in from the Fort Mill Southern Bypass, which we expect to see more residential development. You've got Riverwalk south of that. 21 is also the endorsed LPA for, it's our locally preferred alternative for the eventual incorporation of a rapid transit alternative. There's a lot tied to the capacity of that corridor and how it can function as part of the larger network.
So how was that proposal received?
I think it was received well. I think everyone understands the importance of the 21 corridor. I mean, when you're on the Sales Tax Commission, you're managing a lot of requests.
Right.
You've got a finite amount of money. I think Patrick Hamilton and the entire county council have put a real emphasis on the strength of their cost estimation so that the projects that are identified and put forward for consideration have the necessary funding so that they all go forward during that referendum. So that's important. I think there seemed to be a general acknowledgement that we've got some sunk costs from prior referendums further up on 21, and this logically makes sense to take this next step.
And as you point out, it's the only parallel system to I-77.
Yes.
It's right there. At least two lanes of it are there.
Two lanes of it. But again, there's a lot of developments of regional impact. When I cite Kingsley, when I cite the hospital, when I talk about Riverwalk, when I talk about the role of transit, there's a lot that is going through that general area. And as we talked earlier about the population growth, you know, as surprising as it is, everyone who's coming is not here yet. And we do need to make sure that we can be as nimble and responsive as we can be, and 21 is going to be a big part of that strategy.
Do you think, based on your experience, 20 years plus with RFATS, that because of this rapid population growth, that somebody who doles out the money down there in Washington or wherever it is it comes from will say, you know what, we need to pour more money into this RFATS system up here in York County because they can't keep up with what they have to do?
We would certainly think that makes a lot of sense. I know we have a self-interest in that outcome, but you know, every time we go through the decennial census and we take account of all the MPOs across the state of South Carolina, all the councils of government, we've asked SCDOT and others to take account of those areas with exceptionally high growth like RFATS and say, you know, more money is needed. Not with an attempt of being selfish or unreasonable, but because we need something that's consistent with the pace of growth. Mm. And when you're growing this rapidly, and we have not one counties, but two counties that are growing very rapidly. The Panhandle, for example, is one of the fastest growing sections from here to Hickory. I mean, they don't have to take our word for it. Objectively, they can cross-check this against the census data. It will tell them the same story. And we think it is reasonable to recognize particularly high-growth areas like our fats.
Mm. So I know you're not directly involved with Pennies for Progress, but we are, as you referenced, in the midst of the Pennies for Progress number 5. Committee has been doing its monthly meetings across the county. Sometime later this year, they'll present their list, or maybe the first part of next year, to the county council, and they will say yay or nay. And if all that works out well, then it would be approved, and the collection of dollars for Pennies for Progress number 5, I think, would start with a new fiscal year in July 1 of 2024. I think that's right. Yeah. Something like that.
I think you are.
Which means before that money is collected, it'll be, you know, the fall of 2025. And fortunately, the county last year, last time around, advanced a bunch of money to Pennies for Progress so they could get on with these projects and not wait for the revenue to come in. Now, all that's been paid back, which is great.
Right.
But that front loading is very, very important to trying to keep ahead of the curve. Right?
It was a real prescient decision that the county council made to basically say, let us put some seed money up front to get these projects started, so when the money becomes available, we are ready to go from day one. I would imagine they're considering this as an option this cycle. I think they accomplished a lot last time. And, again, I think it was a good decision, and I imagine it would produce good results this time.
All right. You talked about rapid transit down the road. I don't think, maybe somebody is thinking we'll have a bus line there, but I don't think people are going to use buses. Light rail is what everybody would love to have.
Yes, sir, I think that's it.
But it's so damned expensive.
Yes.
I mean, how will we even get started?
It is a major investment. Now, there's just to give people a sense of pricing. Now, these numbers I'm going to give you, they're dated, but this still gives you a sense of the scale. You know, probably 8 to 10 years ago, a bus rapid transit line might have looked at $500 million from here to the light rail station in Pineville. Light rail was $1.2 billion a decade ago. Okay, so this is a substantial investment. And whenever you put these types of transit lines in place, it's not just the local jurisdictions or even MPOs, because you're never going to have enough money to truly move those forward and get the work done. You're always going to do that in partnership with the federal government. And they're going to look at things like population growth. They're going to look at what we see as the real demand that is sustainable, that will use a transit system on a daily basis to warrant that type of federal expenditure. So before you get to that point, there's a couple of things we need to do. We have coordination of land use along the 21 corridor so we don't have individual developments inadvertently approving things that are not transit supportive. And we're trying to build up the density along that corridor so that when we apply for federal funding, the federal government says, you're a worthwhile candidate, or you look like it.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about that. The density will come.
Yes,
so
sir.
I got about 30 seconds left. Do you have nightmares at night when you think about the new river district over there by the Charlotte Douglas Airport and the impact that's going to have on your responsibilities?
I will tell you, it's a big footprint. There's a big operational footprint there. It's not the only one that's coming, but as I think I'd mentioned to you earlier, they're considering an additional bridge crossing from New South Hope Road over to I-485. So when you look at the River District, the improvements at the airport, that new world-class
tennis
facility, there's a lot going on in that area. And I have to say, we've grown accustomed to it at this point, so we will make it work.
Perfect timing. I know, David Hooper, you've got a lot of things to do besides talk to me on the radio, but we're going to be getting you back here again very soon to try to stay on top of this. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, these guys say they do not need a cue card because they're smart. We'll find out exactly how smart they are. We do fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week. And we do it only here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. So at the count of three, how in the heck do we do it? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.